Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
A happy Thursday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. As always, I'm your host, PJ Glass. We got a great show for you guys today coming up on this Thursday. We're going to get into some of the golf pairings we got coming up this afternoon at the Memorial. We'll give you a live leaderboard update here in a little bit. Kenny Ducey going to join us here in moments. We also have a big Game 5 tonight, of course, between the Knicks and the Pacers. Also Game 5 in the NHL playoffs between the Stars and the Oilers. We'll break down both of those games, give out some best bets that we have. Look at the NFL, some futures markets on this Thursday. We'll dive into AP Offensive Player of the Year. A couple of guys I have my eye on. I'll tell you who I like in that market. Then we'll wrap everything up, as always, with our favorite plays of the day. We love to hear from you guys on this show. Chime in with any questions, any comments that you have, anything that you have for us in tennis. Let us know with Kenny Ducey. Anything you guys have in golf, NBA, NHL, hit us up at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, on X, and we will get to your questions over the next 30 minutes. And also, if you guys miss any part of the show, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcast. All right, let's talk some tennis. Glasses in session. We go to the Glass for Guest Line, check in with Kenny Ducey, who joins us. Covers.com, digital contributor for Tennis Channel as well. Give Kenny a follow on X at Kenny Ducey. Kenny, great having you on the show, man. French Open in full swing. It's underway. We have a few more matches that still are taking place later on today. We got another big card tomorrow. Just give us any plays that you like in some of these matches that we have coming up, or anything that you have your eye on for some of tomorrow's matches as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I mean, there's a lot of really great matches that we're going to get to see tomorrow. A lot of Americans in play. Look, it's been a wild tournament so far. We've had a lot of top seeds eliminated. We've had some shocks today. I think Alexander Bublik over Alex de Minaur was a big shock to me. Tomorrow, I'm looking at a few here. I mean, I think that when we're talking about the Americans, talking about Tommy Paul and Tiafoe, they're both playing big matches. Sebastian Corda, fellow American, going to play Francis Tiafoe. I actually like Francis Tiafoe in that match at even money. It's a pretty shocking thing to say, considering going into this tournament, I wasn't really high on Francis Tiafoe. I don't think anyone really was. He hasn't had a great season. I know everyone knows his name. He's obviously had all the success on stateside at the U.S. Open, but he's had a tough season. He's had about a tough year, calendar year, and clay has never been his surface. But with that said, I mean, I think he's looking pretty impressive here so far. Nice win over Safulin. Sebastian Korda, just kind of a head case. I thought he got a little lucky against Jensen Brooksby. He served himself out of trouble. A lot of big serves to bail him out. So I actually think Tiafoe sneakily is a good underdog play there. I also really like Karen Khachanov at minus 140 to when we saw Tommy Paul yesterday, it looked like he might have hurt himself a little bit. He was limping around, didn't look quite himself, had to come back from two sets to love down. We've seen him do that before at Grand Slams, and then we've seen him come out the very next match and look a little bit flat. I just think that's going to cost him here against Karen Khachanov, a player who, in my power rankings, is number 20 in the world on clay and fast rising. I think he is right back to where he was a year and a half ago. And, you know, we've seen this now over the course of the last 6 months. He's really come back into form, but injury robbed us of about like a year of Karen Khachanov. But a two-time quarterfinalist here, playing really well, playing a potentially hampered opponent. So I like fading two Americans, but with one, I guess, we're backing an American with Tiafo against Korda, and then I like Khachanov against Tommy Paul.
All right, I like it. So make sure to make note of those matches coming up tomorrow. Kenny, looking big picture on the men's draw. Coming into the tournament, it looked like it was Alcaraz and it was Sinner, and it certainly looks like it's probably going to come down to one of those two guys. Alcaraz now minus money at BetMGM to win the French Open. Is it still Alcaraz for you at this point? Do you like Sinner or maybe somebody else down the board you take a shot with?
It's very much still Alcaraz for me. It remains to be seen how good Jannik Sinner is going to be on clay. I think that we saw last year, Carlos Alcaraz played a really terrible match against Jannik Sinner at the semifinal stage. Pat Mortaloglu said that as well. Like, just he really didn't play his best tennis, did Carlos? Didn't play his best tennis in the final either, but somehow he manages to get past Jannik Sinner. I mean, Jannik Sinner had a lost first set to Corentin Moutet here last year. You look at the track record on clay for Sinner, it's just not as good as it's been on hard courts. And now, I mean, it's pretty damn good. I think he only lost three matches all year last year on clay. But, you know, when you compare that to how many matches he played almost 70 matches and lost, I think, twice on hard courts and played, you know, I think it was a 50-2 record, something very close to there. You know, proportionately, he has lost on clay. The surface also doesn't suit him because it slows down the ball for him. He can't really hit through opponents quite as well. And while he does have, you know, I mean, he's good at everything. He has good touch. He has good volleying skills. It's just not the strength of his game. So that's where I think Carlos really comes into play here with him. I think if they meet down the road, I think that's going to be a tough one for Sinner. But I would look out for a couple of guys in his quarter especially. I'm looking at Jack Draper and Archer Fease in that first quarter who could potentially take out Jannik Sinner. Archer Fease playing extremely solid tennis right now. I know he had to go five sets with Jaume Munar, but if he's got some left in the tank, in front of a home crowd, he's a big match player. He's taken out some big names. I just think there's a lot in his way. And for Alcaraz, there's not too much in his way until he's going to get to that semifinal stage. So I think I'm still sticking with Alcaraz as my favorite play to win the tournament. And there's some interesting stories developing elsewhere. But I think for the most part, you've got to stick with what we thought going in. And that's Jannik Sinner with the drug suspension and the time off there, as well as maybe some rust. And Carlos Alcaraz coming in guns blazing on clay. You got to go with Alcaraz.
We're talking with Kenny Ducey here on Send It In, talking some French Open. Make sure you guys give Kenny a follow on X at Kenny Ducey. Kenny, over the women's side, and this one was a little more up for grabs, right? According to the odds makers, Sabalenka and Iga were kind of the favorites heading into this thing. They still very much are. You have Coco Gauff in contention and Driva as well. Right now, Iga is the favorite at BetMGM after we saw Sabalenka early in the tournament, pre-tournament, be the favorite. What do you make of the women's draw? Is it Iga for you? Is it Sabalenka? Who do you like on the women's side?
Yeah, I think it's just kind of early to say, yeah, we're going to go Iga back in the favorite, you know, driver's seat here, because coming into the tournament, there was a lot of weird stuff going on, and she's won two matches in very convincing fashion. I mean, that's all well and good, but she's done that before here this year and then just completely turned around the opposite direction. I just think, you know, you want to go through the Rolodex here. Stuttgart, she loses to Helena Ostapenko, and you go, okay, well, she's 0-6 now against Helena Ostapenko. She just cannot beat Helena Ostapenko. One of the great things about our sport here that sometimes you just got head-to-heads, you can't explain them. She can't beat Helena Ostapenko. Okay, that's fine. But Madrid and Rome, you know, that's really where she made her money last year, right? She had really nice runs there going into the French Open, and obviously at the French Open here, she's lost just two times. And then, you know, she goes all the way to the semis in Madrid. She loses to Coco Gauff. She loses to Coco Gauff 6-1, 6-1, and loses to Maddie Keys in a first set bagel before she ends up beating Maddie Keys in the quarterfinals. And she lost to Danielle Collins in Rome, which was just an insane match. I believe she was a minus 900 favorite there. So, you know, there's a lot transpiring, you know, right now with Iga Swiatek. She's a little off. And so, yeah, she's won two matches in pretty convincing fashion, but I'm going to need to see a little bit more than beating Stramkova and Raducanu, to, you know, anoint her the favorite once again. The good news is she does have a good draw. The bad news is that Helena, at least until the fourth round, the bad news is Helena Ostapenko is lurking. If she ends up beating Elena Rybakina and Swiatek beats Christian, it's going to be Swiatek and Ostapenko. And I will tell you right now, it's a kind of a meme, but Ostapenko's never lost to Iga Swiatek. So how can we be so sure Iga Swiatek's the favorite here when she's got an impossible opponent ahead of her?
Ooh, that'll be interesting. All right, something to keep an eye on there. Great talking French Open with Kenny Ducey. Kenny, obviously you're locked in on tennis, man. Also do a great job with baseball as well. We have a minimal slate today in the MLB. Any plays that you like? Anything that stood out to you?
Yeah, I mean, what stood out to me is I think this is potentially Ryan Gusto's last start with the Houston Astros. We've seen a bunch of their, for lack of a better term, a bunch of their NPCs come up to the major leagues and have five innings of great ball, you know? One of those was Brandon Walter. One of those was Colton Gordon. He's now in the rotation. I think they're going to kick Gusto out, put Brandon Walter in maybe after this start, and he's just been pretty terrible, and I think it would be better for everybody if they lost this game and Ryan Gusto got blown up. So I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Rays and Shane Baz at even money here. This is just a player that profiles incredibly poorly. Tampa Bay is hitting somewhat recently. I also think you have to love the Washington Nationals here against Emerson Hancock. I mean, it's so obvious who the two pitchers we want to fade today are, and they're Emerson Hancock and Ryan Gusto, and you got them both at plus even money on the road, short road underdogs. I like the Nationals and the Rays. I also just think, you know, offensive explosion last night for Washington. How could you not love what the Nationals are doing?
Sure, absolutely love it. Kenny, got about a minute left, sir. I'll open it up to you. Futures market in Major League Baseball. It could be a division winner. It could be a future in the NLAL pennant. It could be Cy Young, Rookie of the Year, anything. Right now, is there a futures bet that you love in the MLB?
Well, to be honest, I haven't been locked in on the future odds because we don't get those here in New York. But I will tell you, if the price is right, and I am going to quickly see if I can find it here, and I believe it will be right, I really like Matt Shaw for NL Rookie of the Year. Yeah, it's close to 10-1. This guy is absolutely raking, PJ. I don't know if anyone's noticed because everyone made fun of his leg kick, which I think it's fake news that he changed the leg kick. Maybe he altered it a little bit, but everyone was, you know, honing in on one highlight of him hitting a home run in AAA. This guy's absolutely raking right now. I think three multi-hit games in his last five, stealing bases, just hitting the ball so well the opposite way. He is really turning into a very, very important player on a very important offense. This is a very good team, the Chicago Cubs, and I think Matt Shaw is riding his way up there. I know that there's a lot of interesting names here. I've mentioned Augustin Ramirez before, I believe before the season, but I think it's going to be one of those two guys, Ramirez or Matt Shaw. And with the Cubs being so good and the Marlins just kind of, you know, basically already to end the season here in late May, I think that there's a good shout for Matt Shaw here at about 10-1. That's a pretty crazy price because he looks just insane right now. It looks like he was supposed to look at the beginning of the year. And if he did that, he probably would be 4-1 right now.
Yeah, love it. Kenny Ducey, always great having him on, always great getting his insight. Covers.com, also digital contributor for the Tennis Channel. Make sure you guys give Kenny a follow on X at Kenny Ducey. Kenny, thanks for the time, man. Enjoy the rest of the French Open, and we'll talk again soon.
PJ, my man, you as well. Thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely, sir. All right, guys, let's keep rocking here on Send It In. We got round one of the Memorial underway at Muirfield Village. Ben Griffin, Colin Morikawa right now, tied for the lead at 4-under par. You got Shane Lowry, Bud Cauley, Andrew Novak, all at 3-under. B Mills, I believe he gave out Akshay Bhatia. He's 2-under, so a really good opening round for him. And then our guy Corey Connors is 2-under. He's off to a nice start. Xander's 1-under. He's doing pretty well. Tony Finau at even, also a nice start to his day. We got some of the bigger names as well, getting ready to tee off, which we'll get to here as we look at some two balls. But so far, a good start, and this course playing just like we thought it would. One of the toughest tests on the PGA Tour. Outside of the U.S. Open, this might be the hardest course that they play all year, and it is certainly showing that. If you've been watching the golf today, very difficult. The wind is starting to pick up as I have it on the TV next to me. So kind of what we had in mind so far coming true, and hopefully our golfers continue to perform well as we look at some two balls we have coming this afternoon. We'll start with Robert McIntyre and Ben On. They are off and running about 10 minutes ago. Ben On was plus 115 against Bobby Mack, who's minus 145, and I would look at Ben On at this price. Guy's had a runner-up finish at this tournament before. One of the better iron players when his game is on, and Benny On's been playing some better golf. Both of these guys tend to play well on difficult golf courses, but I think getting the plus 115 on Ben On is a good number. So I'd look at him in that two ball against Robert McIntyre. Siwoo Kim and Adam Scott. Siwoo was a popular guy this week, especially with the way that he played at the PGA Championship. He's got a really good track record at this course, so I would understand wanting to go with Siwoo. Adam Scott at this stage of his career is hit or miss. He's still got that beautiful golf swing, but this is a really difficult course. It plays extremely long, so I probably would look at Siwoo minus 145 against Adam Scott. Justin Thomas and Patrick Cantlay. So get this with JT, right? His last five starts, three of them, he has finished runner-up, he has won, he's finished runner-up, and then in the other two, miscut, and then also a tied for 36. The miscut and a tied for 36 were at the two majors, the Masters and the PGA Championship, right? Augusta, Quail Hollow, obviously two tough golf courses. JT did not perform well. We're at another difficult golf course this week. I don't think JT is going to perform all that well. And we got Patrick Cantlay, who's probably got the best course history of any golfer on the PGA Tour at this place. He loves this place. He's won here twice. So I would look at Cantlay in the two ball at minus 105. Scottie Scheffler and Sepp Straka. Scottie's minus 275. Sepp Straka is plus 200. A lot of movement this week on Sepp Straka, very popular golfer, which makes sense because this is such a hard course. You got to be a great ball striker. We talked about it all week. Got to put the ball in the fairway for one round. Again, you're seeing the scores, right? A lot of guys even par, one under, two under. You would expect Scotty to kind of be in that mix, even one under. Well, why can't Scotty go one under and Sepp can go two under, especially at 2-1? Just for one round, I think Sepp is a nice plus money look, so we'll go with him at plus 200. Keegan Bradley and Russell Henley are in their two ball today. It's a tricky one because Russ is a guy I loved betting early on in the season. He has really struggled here as of late. Missed the cut at the Masters, missed the cut at the PGA. Again, both the majors did not play well. Meanwhile, Keegan Bradley's playing some good golf, and he's normally a really good bet in the first round at tough courses. So I look at Keegan today, minus 118 in that two ball. Then we got Mackenzie Hughes and Matt Kuchar. I'm going to pass on those two guys. Kuchar at this stage in his career is not going to contend at a place like this, but Mackenzie Hughes is very much a guy that could shoot like a 6 or 7 over today, so I'm going to stay away from that. Then we got Nick Taylor and Jacob Bridgman rounding things out at 2 p.m. Eastern time. Nick Taylor was one of the best ball strikers on the PGA Tour early on in the season. He was like top 15, top 20 in some of the ball striking categories. He's wavered off a little bit, but still better than Bridgman, and if he can put together a good day, I think Nick Taylor can shoot a decent score. So I'll go with him, minus 115 over Jacob Bregman. All right, guys, let's talk some playoffs. We got NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, and obviously a couple of big Game 5s tonight. Both the Knicks and the Dallas Stars face elimination. We will start with the Knicks, who are 4.5-point favorites tonight with a total of 222.5. So, guys, here's my theory on what's going to happen the rest of the Eastern Conference playoffs. I think the Knicks win tonight. I think the Knicks win Game 6. And then I think we go back to MSG for Game 7, and I think the Pacers close it out. And as I've been saying since the start, Pacers in 7, right? Indiana looks like the better team. They have the better players. They have the better coach. They've been able to dictate the pace so far in this series, and that is why they are up and they are starting to wear down the New York Knicks. And the Knicks, their lineup combinations, it's just tough, right? Like, if they want to put Mitchell Robinson in the game, well, that's great. You get extra defense and rebounding, but then you don't get that other scorer in the front court to go along with Kat. You take him on the floor, then you miss that rebounding and that defense as well. So it's just a tough matchup against Indiana, who at all times, they have five guys on the floor that can all shoot threes and all score the ball. It makes it really difficult, and that's been a tough matchup so far with the Knicks. With all that being said, though, all these games have been tight, they've been close, And the Knicks, you know, they have struggled at home this postseason, and a lot of it has been when the pressure is on them. Well, the pressure is really not on the Knicks tonight. Certainly it is in the standpoint where if you lose, you go home. But they're down 3-1 in the series, and everybody just expects the series to be over, and we're all getting ready for OKC and Indiana, right? So I think the Knicks in a spot like tonight with their season on the line, I think that actually helps them pressure a little bit off because the pressure is on Indiana. If they lose this game, going back to Indiana for Game 6, you better win that run, right? Because then it puts it for a Game 7, and we know in a Game 7 anything can happen. So I like the Knicks tonight. I would just take them on the money line at minus 185 just because of how great the Pacers have been on the road this postseason. If I had to play the spread, though, I would take the Knicks minus 4.5 before I would take the Pacers. A player prop that I would look at, and I don't think a lot of you guys are going to like this one, we're going to take Pascal Siakam under 20.5 points. And really, it's just all about how Siakam has trended in each of the first four games so far, right? Siakam in Game 1 scored 17 points. Then in Game 2, he had 39. Then in Game 3, he had 17 again. And then in Game 4, he had 30 points. Siakam's had a solid game, then he's had a great game. Then he went solid game, then he went great game again. Well, now here we are back in Game 5, and if he stays steady, he should be back at like that 17-point mark. Siakam's a great player. He's been terrific in this series. He's been unreal in a couple games in this series. But he usually doesn't put together two great games in a row. And I think the fact that he's coming off another great game, he's had two big scoring outputs, and yet that line is still at 20.5. I think the under is the play there, so give me under there. I also like Mitchell Robinson under 8.5 rebounds tonight at minus 135. I worry about Tibbs and the fact that the Knicks season is on the line, that he's going to panic tonight, and he's going to go back to playing his starters a bajillion minutes, right? He's been doing a good job the last couple games, giving his starters rest, leaning on the bench a little bit. Shamit's done some good things. Delon Wright's given him a few minutes, right? He's used Precious Achiuwa for a couple minutes as well. But I think with the season on the line, the fact that the Knicks lost, now Tibbs is going to throw that all out the window. He's going to go back to his bread and butter. So we'll see if Robinson starts the game tonight. I still think he probably does, but he just has not been as effective starting as he was coming off the bench. So I'm going to go under 8.5 rebounds for Mitchell Robinson. As for the NHL playoffs, Oilers and Stars, guys, I've been cold in the NHL. I need a winner, and I think the Stars are getting us one tonight at home, minus 125. These two teams are pretty even. I know Edmonton's up 3-1 in this series. They've looked like the better team. They obviously made it to the Stanley Cup final last year. They got the best player in the world in Connor McDavid. But these teams are even. And the injury to Zach Hyman's a big one for Edmonton. Dallas has been a very good team at home this postseason. And when you just get NHL playoff series like this with two really good teams, very rarely does it not go 6 or 7 games. So I like Dallas tonight. I think they win. I think Edmonton wins it back at home for Game 6. But give me Dallas tonight, minus 125 on the money line. All right, a promo from our friends at BetMGM. Make a fast break for the action with an NBA playoff odds boost token. Use your token to get a bigger payout on a winning playoff bet. All right, let's dive into our glass ball here on Send It In and look at AP Offensive Player of the Year. Obviously, Saquon Barkley took this home last year. He's the favorite once again at plus 500. Then you have Jahmyr Gibbs at 10-1. You have Ja'Marr Chase at 10-1. Bijan at 12-1. Derrick Henry, 14-1. Justin Jefferson, Puka, 16-1. CeeDee Lamb, Christian McCaffrey, Nico Collins at 18-1. Amon-Ra at 20-1. And Josh Jacobs at 25-1. And that's where I would stop. There's nobody down the odds board that interests me really after Josh Jacobs at 25-1. So let's go through all these names because I got two guys that I really have my eye on for this award. Saquon is the favorite, the big favorite, and rightfully so. After the year that he had last year, probably could have broken the rushing record if they played him the final week of the regular season. Still very much in his prime, running behind one of the best offensive lines in the league, and he should have another massive season. New offensive coordinator, right? Kellen Moore now is off to the New Orleans Saints. So, like, how does that change things a little bit? Do they lean on Saquon as much because they asked him to do so much last season? And if the Eagles are trying to repeat, do they be cautious with the carries for Saquon? Do they pick and choose their games, maybe where they give him 25, 30 carries, other games where they only give him 12 or 13 carries, like the Ravens did with Derrick Henry last year? I just don't want to bet Saquon at this price. And look, for a guy who was able to stay healthy last season, he obviously has had his fair share of injuries when he's been in the NFL. So if he misses a week or two, if they're cautious with him All this contributes obviously to him in this market. Plus, it's tough to repeat. So at plus 500, I am not betting Saquon. Jahmyr Gibbs at 10-1. Terrific player. If Ben Johnson was still the OC in Detroit, I think this would be interesting. But without Ben Johnson, I can't get involved with Jahmyr Gibbs at 10-1 because we don't know what the Lions offense is going to look like. We don't know what Jared Goff's going to look like without Ben Johnson. We don't know what the ratio between run and pass is going to look like with Detroit either. So as much as I love Gibbs, as electrifying as he is, as much of a game changer as he is, and the fact that he absolutely should be amongst the favorites in this market, I'm not touching him at 10-1. Then we have Ja'Marr Chase at 10-1. And Chase, I mean, he won the Triple Crown as a receiver last year, right? Guy's incredible. And if T. Higgins stays healthy, that helps both guys. If T. Higgins stays healthy, well, T. Higgins is going to get his numbers. And then if Higgins is on the field, that's going to attract less attention on Ja'Marr Chase to go and do his thing. I think of the top three guys, Barkley, Gibbs, and Chase, I would definitely look at Ja'Marr Chase, right? Because it's going to kind of have to be the same thing for the Bengals. They're going to have to score points if they're going to want to win a lot of these games. They're likely not going to be able to keep Trey Hendrickson, and their defense was already bad to begin with last year. It's going to be bad again this year. So if the Bengals want to win a lot of these games, they got to do it behind their offense and look for Burrow and Chase and Higgins to put up monster numbers yet again. So I think Chase is a good bet. Bijan Robinson at 12-1, I would stay away from. Michael Penix obviously gets his first full year as a starter. We saw him at the end of the season, and he did some really good things, but we still don't really know how great Michael Penix is. And now with the full offseason and teams having some game film and being able to prepare for him, what is that going to look like? What's it going to look like Michael Penix week to week now that teams have some tape on him? I just don't think we can bet Bijan at this price, right? Because early on in the season, teams are going to load the box. They're going to force Michael Penix to beat them, and they're going to try and take Bijan away. So I have to see Penix play good quarterback before I can bet Bijan at this kind of price. I'm going to stay away from him. Derrick Henry at 14-1. As much as I love the King, and I think this, maybe he's got two more really good years left in him. Certainly should be really good again this year. I think the Ravens, again, are going to be cautious with Derrick Henry. If you watched him last year in the regular season, there were certain games where they would really lean on him, where they would run him 20 to 25 times a game, and then there were other games where they would only run with him 11 to 12. They're very cautious. They're very heady about when they want to run Derrick, so you always have to keep that in mind. And I would not take Derrick this year at AP Offensive Player of the Year. Justin Jefferson, incredible receiver, arguably the best in the NFL, but how good is J.J. McCarthy? None of us have any idea. If you think KOC is a quarterback whisperer, which I think at this point we've established he is, and if you think he loves McCarthy, and the reason they were comfortable moving on from Darnold and making him the guy is because they think he's really, really good, I think Jefferson's a good bet then at 16-1, right? You're getting arguably the best receiver in football at 16-1. If he had a Joe Burrow throwing to him, he'd be like 8-1 in this market. So if McCarthy ends up being really good, Jefferson has a great shot at winning this award. But at the chance that he isn't, and there's probably a better chance he isn't than he is, I'm going to pass on Justin Jefferson. But the guy that I love in this market for AP Offensive Player of the Year is Christian McCaffrey at 18-1. CMC should be back this season after having those lingering injuries last year that kept him out for essentially a whole year. He could never get back to that form that we saw him a couple years ago where he nearly won the MVP. He should be back this season. And look at the offseason that San Francisco had, right? Gave up a ton of guys on defense. Ayuk's not coming back until probably the middle of the season. Got rid of Deebo Samuel. Paid Brock Purdy a bunch of money. Trent Williams is still there on the offensive line. I think San Francisco is really going to lean on the running game this season. They're going to do the things that got them to being successful. And that was running the ball with McCaffrey, Purdy off of play action, and then having their defense led by Nick Bosa up front tee off on these opposing quarterbacks. Also, San Francisco, the way that their schedule sets up for them should really be advantageous for Christian McCaffrey. This year's schedule, they face 8 of the top 10 worst rushing defenses from last season. So there's a great chance that McCaffrey's going to have some monster games this year with some of the run defense he's going to be going up against. If he can stay healthy, which he has done in his Niners career outside of last season, I think this price at 18-1 for McCaffrey is a great one. So I love him for AP Offensive Player of the Year. All right, we got some questions here in golf and baseball. B-Mails, hey PJ, today I have the Braves and Phillies game two under 5.5 in the first seven with those two pitchers. Then I have James Wood, two or more total bases at plus 110. Also like Brandon Lowe, two plus home run RBIs at minus 105 since he's been killing it. B Mills, he's been killing it. James Wood has been killing it. I like both of those plays that I like. You're under 5.5. Wheeler, Sale, two of the best in the business. I love it. And then just took Cantlay over JT Peage and used the boost to get plus 120. I love it. Thank you, sir. B Mills, let's hope Cantlay comes through. Been up and down this season, but he loves this course. And JT, again, as great as he has been recently, was not good at the Masters, was not good at the PGA. I do not like the fact that he struggled at two major championships, and this test that they're dealing with this week is like a major championship-type test. So, fade JT, B Mills, we're on Cantlay today in the two ball. All right, as for some of our best bets that we have for today, my pick and going streak, and we're going with Jeremy Pena of the Astros against Shane Baz tonight. 3-for-6 in his career is Jeremy Pena. So not too many at-bats, but he does have three hits. He's batting 500 against Baz. So we'll take Jeremy Pena as our guy in going streaking. Prop lock, we're going with Pascal Siakam under 20.5 points. I told you guys, Siakam's been steady throughout the series. 17 points game one, 39 game two, 17 game three, 30 in game four. He's got 17 great games, 17 great game. Now we're back to 17 in game five. Give me under 20.5 for Siakam. My dog of the day, let's go with Sepp Straka and his two ball against Scottie Scheffler as they're getting ready to tee off. I know it's tough betting against Scottie, but we're just doing it for one round. Scottie could still go off and win the tournament. He could still blow Straka away by 12 shots. Just need him for 18 holes, Sepp Straka, plus 200. And then my best bet, Knicks, Stars, Moneyline Parlay, plus 172. Give me both of the favorites tonight in Game 5. I think we get a Game 6 in both of these series. That's my best bet of the day. Once again, real quick, Jeremy Pena going streaking. Siakam under points is our prop lock. Sepp Straka, dog of the day, and Scheffler in his two ball. Knicks, Stars, Moneyline Parlay is our best bet. Thanks again to Kenny Ducey. Appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow to wrap up the week.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.